Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a joy it has been already to be in this youth camp. Legacy has certainly become a highlight in my life. And the years that I've been privileged to come has been such a blessing. And this year is no different. I have been marvelously helped of the Lord. And I want to say thank you again today to the leadership of this camp, and express my appreciation and love for you. I want to say thank you for the wonderful basket. Whoever prepared that basket, you went overboard and you knew what you were doing. And I want to tell you a great big thank you. I guess I could let Madison right now say a big thank you. Boy, he's been attacking that big time. And we have been enjoying that basket. And so thank you. Thank you. I've been blessed by your response to the word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord, young people. God bless you. The Bible said that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Our only hope of being saved is the ability to continue to hear the word of God and let it impact us, challenge us, and change us. And God has certainly been doing that in this meeting. And I commend you, young people, for letting the Lord have His way. And this service this morning is the breakover point. This is the middle of camp. Hadn't God done a great work already? Are you grateful for what the Lord has already done in your life? I think right now would be a good time for let's give some thanks to the Lord for what He has done in our hearts already. Let's thank Him together. Lord, we praise You. We worship You. We thank You for the work that You have done in our hearts, for the work that You've done in our spirits. We thank You for the word, the revelation, God, the impact of Your voice upon our souls. And we thank You for visiting us. We thank You for saving us. And we thank You for reaching us and rescuing us, Lord. We thank You for the redemption that You have granted, the reviving, O Lord, and the restoring. We thank You for it. We worship You for it. We love You for it. Amen. God bless you. I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon. Surprise, surprise. We're going back there this year. I didn't expect to either. I was surprised, a couple years ago when I preached from this book for a couple days here. And this morning, as I was seeking the Lord, I felt the Lord speak this message to my heart. I left quick last night, right before service was closed, because I wanted to hold and retain and keep the Spirit, the visitation of God that was on my soul. And I got up this morning and started seeking the Lord. I believe the Lord's just going to move us forward here today and help us with another word. How many wants the Lord to help you today? Praise God. Song of Solomon chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 2. The lady says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Then she says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh. Upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Notice the Bible says that verse 5, she gave these words, I rose up to open to my beloved. She said, I opened to my beloved. I sought him. I called him. I want to talk to us today about forging the distance. Forging the distance. Why don't you join with someone near you? Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this word that you're speaking today. I thank you for what you have placed in my heart and in my spirit. I believe you to help us today. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the help, God, that you're going to give. I thank you for the strength that you're going to give. I thank you for the direction that you're taking us today. I thank you for what you're doing in these young people's lives. And I believe you in the name of the Lord to, God, accomplish your will in every life. And enable us, God, enable us to forge the distance. Enable us to make the journey. Enable us, God. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have you ever had a dream, young people, that jolted you awake? In a moment, you went from being dead asleep to wide awake. Your blood was pumping. Your heart was thumping. There was a thud in your chest and there was a lump in your throat. Terror filled your heart, filled your mind. It wasn't some sweet dream that took you to what we'd call la-la land. In your dream, maybe you were being pursued. You were running for your life. Anybody had a dream somewhat like that? You were running for your life. You did something, maybe you did something that you felt guilty of and you felt ashamed of and you thought you'd never do. It's amazing how we can have stupid dreams. I wish there was a way we could avoid that. But we can dream of doing horrible things and terrible things. We can dream of taking somebody's life and being a murderer ourselves. And it's something we'd never desire to do, never intend to do. But crazy, crazy, stupid dreams come that cause us to be fearful and afraid. Maybe you were dreaming you were driving down the road or riding a motorcycle or riding a bike, whatever, and you were about to have an accident and you jerked to avoid an accident, and all of a sudden you wake up. You jerked while you were sleeping and it woke you up. And maybe you felt like you were falling off of a cliff and you wake up and you've just fallen off your bed. We've all had dreams like that. Some dreams leave us with fears. Some dreams leave us with regrets. Some dreams leave us doubting. Some dreams leave us worried. And that's the type dream that this young lady had. You know, I remember one time I was sleeping. And I felt all bound up. Some evil men got me. I'm trying not to give you bad dreams, right? But I dreamed that I was all bound up. And as I was all bound up, I was trying hard. Now, I'm not a macho man, all right? Y'all can tell that, all right? But I was trying to break the cords. I was all bound up. And all of a sudden, I felt some men, and in my dream, they were coming and they were grabbing me. And I was just, they were putting their hands underneath me. And when they did, I broke it loose. When I did, I woke up. Because those hands was my wife. And I hit her right here in the face. Boom. Now, I better have been dreaming. And so now when I'm dreaming, she knows I'm having a bad dream or something. And I may be grunting or I may... She doesn't reach over and touch me. She gets a distance from me and she starts kicking. But we've all had dreams that's left us troubled. And that's what the Shulamite here said. She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. She's sleeping. She's in a dead sleep, but she's dreaming and it's real to her. She hears her beloved knocking and he's saying, open unto me. The thing that she would want, long for, and desire the most is a visitation from her beloved. And now in her dream, she hears it. She doesn't know she's dreaming. It's real to her. And she hears him knocking, saying, open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Put it in your terms. You get that phone call from the boy you like. The girl that you always wanted to talk to, you're getting that opportunity. I mean, this is the one she loved. And he's knocking, saying, I'm paying you a visit. And she starts reasoning away. How many love to get up in the morning? How many love it? I mean, it's one. How many was thrilled when your dean or matron said, all right, it's time to get up this morning. Now, there's some folks, they love morning, but not everybody. But not everybody just loves to be woke up in the middle of the night. And so that's what she's there. And she's saying, listen, I've already put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And she begins to reason away. Now listen, this is a positive message today, all right? Hopefully you can feel my spirit already, but this is not going to be a negative message, so I'm not going to put you over hell as if you're missing your opportunities. I'm going to challenge us today to forge the distance. But this is a dream she had. This is a dream she had. And she said, I've put off my coat. I've already washed my feet. And she reasons away her response. Rather than reacting immediately and jumping up and opening the door, she reasons in her mind. And as she is reasoning, she says, my beloved put in his hand by the door. My bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. She said, when I finally got up and I opened the door, when I reached to the handle, my hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved. Come in. It's gone. He had withdrawn himself and was gone. She said, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I can just see that young lady laying there. And this dream moves her. She wakes up. Her heart's pumping. Blood's rushing through her veins. I miss it. Did this really happen? Then she realizes it's a dream. What I'm trying to tell you, there's nothing more troubling to a very sincere and honest-hearted person that fears God, that reverences God, and loves God when somehow they sense they have failed God. They have missed a moment with him. They have failed to respond properly as they should. Somehow that soul wakes up and says, I have failed him. I didn't move like I should. Have I missed my opportunity? Have I missed my chance? Have I missed my time with the one that I love? Amen. Honest-hearted people don't want to miss a moment with God. We don't want to miss a touch that he has for us. We don't want to fail to capitalize upon every opportunity we have in his presence. I believe there's young people in this place today that says, God, I want to learn how to make the most of every moment with you. I don't want to live a life of regrets. I don't want to live a life where I have to have my heart beating, my soul feeling like it missed its moment with you. But God, I thank you that you got a moment here where you can just tell us about a dream that'll help us to realize the importance of letting our heart's desire come forth as you visit us. You see, it wasn't a reality. It really didn't happen. It was just a dream. But even though it was a dream, the true sentiments of the heart came forth of this young lady. How she felt, what she thought, her affections for her beloved did come forth. Amen. Dreams has a way of bringing out what is truly within us, how we feel and what we think. As we heard preaching last night, amen, God helped us to allow to surface the true sentiments that was in our heart. Amen. Our love, our respect, our fear of the Lord, our reverence for God. Amen. And God gave us a real opportunity to sense how great a moment we were in. Aren't you glad you responded to the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When this lady dreamed, she dreamed that once she responded, she found that her beloved had withdrawn himself, and that all that was left was just the lingering fragrance, a sense of where he had been, that he had showed up, that he had paid a visit. She heard his voice, but now all there is the fragrance of his visitation. Can I tell you that this is not a dream in some churches? This is a harsh reality, young people. There are people today that are weeping and they are grieving and their heart is sorrowful because there are things that used to be present, evident, established within their local assemblies that are no longer present. The spirit of prayer is just a lingering fragrance in their church now. The spirit of holiness is just a lingering fragrance in their church now. The spirit of truth is just a lingering fragrance in their church. I'm not here to preach against other people today. I'm just telling you, for some folks in this world, it's not just a dream that they can wake up and realize, hey, it's still here. There are churches today where there's ministers that are not sounding the clear note, not giving the certain sound. And now they have confused people that don't know where they stand and don't know what to believe. Amen. They don't have the spirit of holiness, of separation from the world, or loving God, but the spirit of holy burning, of passion and desire has departed from their midst. They just go through the motions. I believe there's some young people in this place today that says, God, never let it be in my lifetime, in my generation, in my church, in my youth group. I'm going to tell you what the Lord is doing this week. The Lord is calling forth another generation to fall in love with truth. God is confirming another generation and he is establishing another generation in truth. This is your moment. Amen. We got some distance to make, but I believe there's some young people that says, hey, I'm not going to miss my moment with truth. I'm ready to forge the
distance with God. I'm not going to wake up and Him be long gone from my life. I'm going to let a dream challenge me today to move now and in this present time, to forge the distance, to see the glory of God continue in my generation. Let's praise Him together. Let's praise Him together. Hallelujah. 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 I praise You, Lord. I worship You, Jesus. I glorify Your name. Hallelujah. There's churches today that don't know the true spirit of praise. They don't know the true spirit of worship. There's places that were once holy temples of the visitation of God. Amen. The glory has departed from them. Amen. Young people today, I want God to put in your heart a hunger for the glory of the Lord. I want to tell you again today, as I said yesterday, we serve a mighty God. We serve a big God. We serve a God of exceeding greatness. Amen. And I'm challenging you and giving you an invitation to the glory of the Lord.
As I look into the Word of God, I try to think of an example, a setting that could properly convey the feelings that that young lady had as she was dreaming of that visitation. And realizing once she reached for Him and opened the door, He was gone. Was left with just the lingering fragrance. Is there something in Scripture that we could reference that we could talk about today? And I think one of the best examples would be the rebuilding of the temple. When the children of Israel came back from Babylonian captivity and they began to lay the foundation of the temple. The Bible says this, and I know you know it, but let me read it to you again today. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12. Many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. Here we are at the rebuilding of the temple. The Bible says that the young folks were shouting for joy. They were thrilled for what they were seeing. They were seeing progress. They were seeing restoration. They were seeing revival. They were seeing God bring His work into a fresh start. And yet there were some elders that were standing by and they were weeping and they were crying and they were sighing. The tears were flowing. And this is the way the prophet Haggai in that time put it. And he asked a question. And he said, Who among you saw Solomon's temple? Who among you saw the first temple? Who among you saw the beautiful edifice? The elephant, no. The beautiful edifice that Solomon built. Who among you saw the gold covered, beautiful inside? Who among you saw the articles of the furniture? Who among you saw the glory of the Lord come in where the priest could not stand and minister on the day of dedication? Who among you heard Solomon's prayer? Who among you saw the Queen of Sheba visit the city and speak with Solomon and be overwhelmed to where there was no more spirit left in her at such a great kingdom? He said, who saw it then? And how do you see it now? The effect upon the elders was weeping and crying, sighing. The young people's over here. Yes. Thank you, God.
We have a future. And we got elders over here that's crying. And they're saying, we failed him. We lost it. We didn't cherish it. We didn't value it. We didn't appreciate the glory. We weren't grateful. We were rebellious. We were self-willed. We let our flesh get a hold of us. And they're weeping. And they're crying. Sometimes we read this scripture and we say, who's right and who's wrong? Sometimes we want to say the elders shouldn't be crying. And sometimes they want to say the young people shouldn't be shouting. And we get generational conflict. And we get generational criticism. Can I tell you, they were both right. The elders had a reason to cry. The elders had a reason to sigh. Because they knew the former glory. And they realized the rebellion, the hardness, the stubbornness, the sin, and the price that was paid for their wrongdoings. And what little thing was going on in their mind of just relaying the foundation, it was nothing in comparison. That's what Haggai said after he asked the question in Haggai chapter 2, saying, how do you see it now? He said, you see it as nothing in comparison. That this foundation, this second temple, it's nothing in comparison. That's the way you view it. That's the way you see it. And so they're weeping and crying. Feeling like their best days were behind them. Feeling like the best was the past. And all they could focus on was the glory of what had been. And they were weeping. And they were crying. Can I tell you, it's okay for elders to weep. And it's okay for young people to shout. Elders can weep over what we've lost. And young people can rejoice about what God is doing. But we can't ever start fighting one another. We can't ever get in conflict with one another. We can't ever let our concerns about what we lost cause us to become critical about what's happening. Because now what is happening is just the seed of greater things than what was in the past. We may look at what's going on right now and we can say, oh, this is nothing as the second temple was compared to the first temple. But let me remind you also of the words of the prophet that said the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Young people, we can't look at our elders as old fogies that are stuck in the mud and stuck in the past. Now, we can't allow ourselves as the older folks to get stuck in the mud and believe that the best days are behind the church. We can't ever believe that. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. But we can't allow ourselves as younger generation, amen, to get an attitude against the elder generation concerning what they're weeping about in what is lost. Just don't condemn us because we didn't lose it. Help us to get it back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I told some stories in the times past about me going to Jennings. And when I went there, Brother Alexander asked me to go to Jennings because he was wanting to retire. And he did retire. And it just took us a few years to get there, 5.5 years. And I told you some of those stories. I had to wait. And I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't thrilled about waiting. I wasn't happy about waiting. Brother Durwood Hammer, as I was going to Jennings, he said, listen, how old are you? I said, I'm 27 years old. He said, man, you got 5 years to wait. You're not in a hurry. You're a young man. Even if you go there and you're an assistant for 5 years, he said, hey, you got time. You're not wasting 5 years. I'm like, oh, God. I didn't know he was a prophet. He was prophesying to me that day. It was 5.5 years before we had a transition and an installation service. Now, I'm going to tell you, I thought for a while, cut the tape off. No, I'm joking. I thought for a while we were just waiting for an old man to die. He was 81 when I went there. He didn't retire until he was 87. So I thought we were waiting on an old man to die. I didn't know. I didn't know how long it was going to take. I'll be honest with you. All I know is God wanted me to go. And I was committed to His will. And whatever it took for His will to be accomplished, that's what I was determined to do. What I'm telling you is that the reality was, we weren't waiting for an old man to die. God was waiting for a young man to grow up. I didn't want to believe that back then. But that's the truth today. And that was the truth I was wrestling with then. Because I know God, you're God. And you can do what you need to do. And you can make it happen one way or another. 81, 82, 83, 84, 85. Sister Phillips is here. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. My life's ticking away. 27, 28, 29, 30. And I'm dying. I'm young. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm going to be wore out by the time I get there. Is all my desire going to be gone? Is all my passion going to be... God spoke to me a scripture when I went to Jennings. It was concerning Jacob and Esau, but I felt like it applied to me. He said that the election of God may stand. The elder shall serve the younger. I'm the next man. He's going to serve me. God's chose me. And I received that word with a bit of pride. Wrong. The Bible said only by pride cometh contention. We can't ever let the elder generation and the younger generation start quabbling and squabbling. Quabbling? Is that a right word? I'm making sure I got it. Squabbling, I think, is the right word. I've got my own dictionary I'm making. From wedges to quibbling, I think that's it, yeah. Oh, Lord, I'm getting loose. I'm not stopping. I'm going forward, all right? So, I thought, I'm the man. God, you sent me to Jennings. The elder's going to serve the younger. New kid on the block. I'm coming in. I want to tell you what. He's 95. And he's still with me. I've been pastoring 8 years now. I've been in Jennings over 13 years. God's letting him live a long time. And you know why God's letting him live? Because I need him. If we allow generational conflict and criticism to develop in our hearts, it comes from pride. There's not one generation better than another. There's not one generation of apostolic ministry better than another. There was better men than me before I was ever born in this gospel. And there'll be better men than me when I'm gone. Only by pride cometh contention. One generation is to compliment another, to praise another, to serve another. We're not to fight one another. We're to love one another.
I'm not preaching to you as if you're doing it wrong. I just feel like preaching about this for a little bit today before I move forward. Because it's okay for old men to weep and it's okay for young men to shout. As long as we don't confuse it.
And start playing the blame game. We all are responsible for our own generation. You will determine the success of your church in your generation. And right now's the time to get a hold of it. We don't have a day to lose. We don't have a year to lose. We don't have a week to lose, young people. Get a hold of it now and say, I want the church going on and going strong. I got some distance to go before I'm a soul winner. I got some distance to go before maybe I'm known as a prayer warrior. I got some distance to go before I become the minister that God wants me to be, or the Sunday school teacher for me to be, or the song leader that God has for me to be. I've got some distance to go in prayer. I've got some distance to go in dedication. I've got some distance to go in consecration. I got to push the plate back some more days, but I'm ready. I'm ready. If this is my time, and it is my time, I'm ready to step up to the plate and do my part. I'm not going to stand back and criticize the elders for what they haven't got done or what they're not doing. I'm going to join hand in hand with them. I'm going to say, come on, elders. Come on, pastor. You got another generation that's joining in with you in prayer and consecration. Hallelujah. 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 So I looked at Brother Alexander the other day and I said, Elder, I know. And he does. He has bad days. He has days he can't even walk by himself anymore. He has to sit in a wheelchair. He's got a strong mind, strong spirit. He's still able to come to church, Sister Phillips, and then pay him visits. God bless him. Amen. You know what, Sister Phillips? Somebody told me one time, said, be good to the old man you're going to be. God bless you for what you're doing, encouraging the elder and Sister Alexander. I want to be good to the old man I'm going to be. And so, I said, Elder, I know you have days you wonder why God's letting you live. You feel like you don't serve a purpose. I said, but God's not going to let you go home until He does everything He needs to do through you for us. God's leaving you here for us. I need you. And we need you. I'll tell you this. Nobody can pray for me like Brother Alexander can pray for me. Nobody can touch God for me like Brother Alexander can touch God for me. Nobody's got my back like Brother Alexander's got my back. Nobody is my friend like Brother Alexander's my friend. I'm going to tell you, in my most troubling moments, in the darkest trials, when I'm heavy laden, I can go to that elder, whether it's at his house or whether it's at the church, and I can kneel before him and he'll lay his hand on me. And when he lays his hand on me, the power of the Lord begins to move. Nobody touches me like God can touch me as that elder prays for me. There's a blessing in it. And I'm going to tell you, when we start fighting with our elder generation, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're cheating ourselves of the gift of God. Yeah, they're going to serve us, but they're going to serve us as we humble ourselves and realize the gift that they are in our lives. And let them be what God has ordained them to be. I tell you what, one of the greatest times my dad scolded me when I was in my teens is because I said a disrespectful word to an older lady in our church. She went around snapping pictures all the time. And she was different. Y'all don't have anybody like that, do you? I heard somebody laugh. Oh, Lord. There was other young people that had wrong attitude. I called her Old Lady Pelt. I know you can't believe that.
That's all my dad had to hear. I promise you, I never did it again. We need our parents. Some of the greatest encouragement I received as a young person growing up was from elders in our church. They were thrilled to see a young man giving his heart to the Lord. And if I wanted to, I'd take time and I could tell you about their faults. But they were a gift to me. I'd walk in, 14 years old, 15 years old. They say, here comes a preacher. Here comes a man of God. Right. Let's not get in this generational conflict. Best thing you can do is when you're in trouble, go to an elder you love. A mother in Israel. And say, put your arm around me. Would you pray with me? Would you help me? I want to make the journey. And you can help me forge the distance. You can help me get where I need to go. I feel a little distant from the Lord. I need God to touch me right now. Would you touch God for me? Would you pray for me? Would you intercede for me? Would you help? Would you help me? Would you help me? Hallelujah. Why don't you pray right now that God will help you with your spirit and attitude about elders? Come on. Let's pray about that right now in the name of Jesus. God, we don't want to be disobedient. We don't want to be know-it-alls. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Let's talk to Him for a little bit. We're going to move forward here in just a moment. Let's just talk to the Lord. I love you, Jesus. 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 I praise your name. Hallelujah. As much as it was okay for elders to cry, and as much as okay, it was okay for young people to shout. Amen. The Lord did have a word from the prophet, and the word was, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Somehow, we need to get that word in our heart. We need to get that word in our spirit. The best days are not behind your church. The best days are ahead for your church because you're getting it. God's visiting you. God's talking to you. God's helping you. God's touching you. The best days are ahead for your church. I don't normally try to say anything to pastors, leaders, but pastors, I felt a word from the Lord in my spirit for you, a word of encouragement. Any pastors in this place today, there's some concerns that God's going to release you of this week. And you will see answers to your prayers even beyond what has already happened. There is still answers to your prayers that God is going to give you this week. God is going to give some more breakthroughs. He is going to give some assurances to you. He is going to release some of your burdens and lift some cares off of your shoulders. He's going to do it. And in a moment, we're fixing to gather together. And I want us to gather together as youth groups. Young ladies in a youth group, young men in a youth group. I'd like the deans and matrons, pastors' wives, pastors to join with the groups. We're going to have a prayer meeting. And the Holy Ghost is going to visit us. The Holy Ghost is going to touch us in just a moment. We're going to connect. We're going to connect with the gifts that God's given to us. We're going to connect with the authorities that God has put in our life. We're going to do a generational connection here today. And the Holy Ghost is going to help us. The Holy Ghost is going to visit our heart. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you, we'll never get where we need to go divided. The blessing of the Lord is on the house of unity. The blessing of the Lord is on the house of unity. I'd like for us to stand together right now. Listen to what 1 Peter said, verse 5 of chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. We've got to submit to authority. Let the younger submit to the elders. But also, there's got to be a submission of our hearts one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Oh yeah, the elder serves the younger sometimes. But he can only serve and help the younger as much as the younger will let him. And the Bible says there was a man named Elisha, the young man Elisha that poured water on the hands of the prophet. We need some young men that'll start serving their elders, serving their church, get a burden to make a difference. Listen. I'm coming to a close, but do not allow the intimidation of the past, right? Of the way things have been, cause you to hold yourself back. God's doing a work now, and what God is doing now is going to lead you and your church on to greater glory. Don't doubt what God can do in you, and don't doubt what God can do through you as you serve, as you humble yourself, as you dedicate yourself, as you forge the distance at the goals, the desires, the dreams that God has put in your heart. You need to say things aren't going to stay the way they've been. Things aren't going to continue the way they are because I'm a different person. God's got a fresh work for this generation. As you begin to gather with your youth groups, if you will, I want to tell you. The prophet Malachi said, listen, the Lord shall suddenly come to His temple. That was a word of prophecy concerning the Messiah that was to come. Solomon's temple knew the glory, the Shekinah. It had the articles of furniture. But to the second temple that was remodeled and expanded by Herod, Jesus visited Himself. He was brought in as a Christ child. That's where He kicked over the tables of the money changers. That's where He healed the sick and opened blind eyes. It was in that second temple that was expanded, remodeled, and built by Herod that the gospel was preached. The Holy Ghost was poured out. It was at that temple where the lame man sat when Peter and John went to the place of prayer. What I'm trying to tell you, what was looked at and saw as nothing, seen as nothing, became the very temple Jesus Christ visited, walked into, preached the gospel, performed the miracles. I'm encouraging you today to forge the distance. Spend the time in prayer. Spend the time in the Word. Spend the time making consecration and fasting before God. Young people, forge the distance to become what God wants you to be. And let these elders help you. Let deans and matrons help you. Let your pastors and pastors' wives help you. Hallelujah. As a group, I want groups praying together. If you don't have anybody here, join with some group. But I want groups to pray together right now. Come on, join as a group. We got to connect. We got to have a generational connection here today. It says, I want to forge the distance. I want to make the journey. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. You're making some steps this week. Forge the distance. Make the press. Make the push. Put forth the effort. Do what it takes.
You need me.
Well, that's it. Come on.
We're all apart.
Don't be hesitant. Don't be ashamed. This is your group. Let's make the journey. Let's make the journey.
We're all